Coffee Break French Magazine, Season 1, Episode 9. Bonjour à tous et à toutes et bienvenue à Coffee Break French. Moi, c'est Marc.
Et moi, c'est Pierre Benoît. Nous sommes de retour pour un nouvel épisode.
Oui, un nouvel épisode et nous allons parler de musique aujourd'hui.
De musique et pas n'importe quelle musique, Marc. Nous allons parler de...
D'Edith Piaf,
D'Edith
en fait.
Piaf, très très bien.
Not just any music, but we're going to be speaking about the little sparrow.
Ouais, c'est ça, la môme Piaf.
La môme Piaf. OK. Now, of course, we'll be going through this text and talking about the language, the grammar, the expressions and so on contained in that text. And you'll get the chance to develop your French understanding with that. And also access a little bit of French culture, because it is something that is very important within any French culture, the whole idea of music and this particular singer.
Oh, that she was unique. So.
Unique, tout à fait. Okay, there's lots more coming up. Let us get straight on with the show. Alors, t'es prêt?
Moi, je suis prêt. C'est parti.
Allez, c'est parti. Alors, comme d'habitude, nous allons passer la parole à Suzy qui va nous lire le texte d'aujourd'hui.
Très bien.
Vous avez sûrement entendu parler de la chanteuse et parolière française Edith Piaf, de son vrai nom Edith Giovanna Gassion. Surnommée la môme Piaf, elle est devenue une légende de la culture populaire française. Pourquoi l'a-t-on appelée la môme? C'était en raison de sa petite taille et de son apparence frêle. Il faut bien dire que ses débuts n'ont pas été faciles. Elle est née dans la misère en 1915 à Paris. Sa mère était chanteuse de rue et son père était contorsionniste dans un cirque itinérant. À l'âge de 15 ans, Edith commence à gagner sa vie en chantant dans la rue. Elle mène ainsi une vie de bohème jusqu'à ce qu'elle soit découverte par Louis Leplay, le gérant d'un cabaret sur les Champs-Élysées. Elle débute alors sa carrière en tant que vedette de music-hall, et enregistre son premier disque, Les Mômes de la Cloche. Grâce à sa voix unique et vraiment différente de tout ce qu'on avait pu entendre alors, Edith Piaf connaît un énorme succès qui lui permet de devenir une star de renommée mondiale. Pourtant, sa vie, ponctuée de grandes passions, est aussi remplie de souffrances. Elle perd sa fille Marcel en 1935 et l'amour de sa vie, le boxeur Marcel Cerdan, dans un accident d'avion en 1949. Elle meurt le 10 octobre 1963 dans les Alpes-Maritimes d'une rupture d'anévrisme à l'âge de 47 ans. Cette artiste exceptionnelle a marqué à jamais la musique française avec des chansons qui sont désormais de grands classiques, telles que Milord, La Foule, Non, je ne regrette rien et n'oublions pas sa chanson la plus célèbre, La vie en rose. Si vous ne l'avez pas encore fait, il faut absolument que vous écoutiez ces chansons. Vous pouvez donc améliorer votre français tout en écoutant de la musique.
Et pas n'importe quelle musique, hein?
Non, la musique d'Edith Piaf, comme j'ai dit, elle était unique et sa musique, sa manière de chanter.
Ouais.
D'accord? Et certaines personnes n'apprécient pas sa manière de chanter.
Oui.
D'accord? Mais c'est vraiment, ça la rend unique.
Et, oui.
Elle était sublime, cette petite. Parce qu'elle était toute petite,
oui,
en fait.
Oui, toute petite. En fait, si vous n'avez pas encore regardé des vidéos, enfin des enregistrements d'Edith Piaf, vous allez devoir regarder ça sur YouTube ou vous allez trouver ça.
Et puis surtout, captiver l'énergie qu'elle dégageait.
Oui.
Hein, dégager une énergie.
Oui.
Dans un tout petit corps comme ça, pouvoir dégager une telle énergie, ça, c'est chapeau. C'est vraiment chapeau.
That's a nice expression. When you say chapeau, it means you're taking off your hat to someone.
Hats
you're,
off. Yeah.
Hats off to someone because you're appreciating what they are doing. Well,
ouais,
we are
ouais.
now going to go back through this text and talk about things in detail. And of course, if you're using our premium version, you can follow on with the text as we go through it. So let's take it line by line and we'll talk about what's included in this text.
Vous avez sûrement entendu parler de la chanteuse et parolière française Edith Piaf.
Okay, in this first sentence, we've got something interesting because in French, we know that we say vous avez entendu parler de quelqu'un. But in English, we just say you've heard of someone. So have you heard about this? In French, you have to turn that around and you say, have you heard to speak of this?
Or have you heard, maybe it's an ellipse of people, like people
speaking
of
about
that
this.
Person.
Yeah. Have you heard people speaking about this? So, vous avez sûrement entendu parler de la chanteuse et parolière française Edith Piaf. You've surely heard speak, of the singer and parolière-songwriter?
Yeah, lyricist.
Lyricist, yeah. So les paroles d'une chanson are the lyrics of a song. And so this is a lyricist. She's French, française, Edith Piaf.
De son vrai nom, Edith Giovanna Gassion.
So her real name was Edith Giovanna Gassion. So perhaps some Italian blood there with the name Giovanna. But her name that she was given, or the name that she took, was Edith Piaf. C'est quoi un Piaf?
Un Piaf, c'est a little bird. I think it's a little sparrow.
A sparrow. Okay, so the word Piaf, un Piaf as a noun, is a sparrow. But there's also Piafé as a verb.
Wow, yeah. Yeah, there's an expression that kind of springs to mind, like piafé d'impatience.
Oui, je piafé d'impatience d'enregistrer cet épisode.
C'était moi, c'est ça. Je tournais en rond, je piafé d'impatience.
It was flying around there like a little sparrow outside the studio. So it means to champ at the bit. Another figurative expression there from horses.
Champ at the bit.
But not to do with birds, but no. Piafé d'impatience. It means to be desperate or to be impatient to do something. Yeah. Good. Okay, so that's Piaf, the noun, and indeed Piafé, the verb.
Surnommée la môme Piaf, elle est devenue une légende de la culture populaire française.
So, nicknamed, surnommer quelqu'un is to nickname someone. Yeah. So, nicknamed La Môme Piaf, which would be the Piaf kid or something like that.
Or the sparrow kid, so to speak. Indeed, yeah. Piaf,
And there you've got Môme. You often talk about les Môme when you're talking about your pupils.
Yes, les Môme or les gosses.
Les gosses as well. So, another word for kids. So, La Môme Piaf, elle est devenue une légende. So, she became... Or she has become, perhaps looking back in this, she has become, and note there that we've got an être verb, devenir un être verb, elle est devenue, with agreement.
Yep, so you've got an extra E there.
Une légende de la culture populaire française. So she became, or she has become, a legend of popular French culture.
Yep. Pourquoi l'a-t-on appelée la môme?
Why has one called her? And notice where your direct object goes there, your pronoun. Pourquoi l'a-t-on appelé? Why her has one called la môme? Why was she called la môme?
C'était en raison de sa petite taille et de son apparence frêle.
So it was as a result of her small size or small stature and her frail appearance, can you say?
Yeah.
Frail, it's like fragile, frail.
Yeah, she didn't keep very, very well, you know, as a child.
So she looked a little ill, in a sense. Yeah. Frail, that's the frail word there. Okay, let's go on.
Il faut bien dire que ses débuts n'ont pas été faciles.
So we really have to say that her start, her beginnings in life, weren't easy.
Elle est née dans la misère en 1915 à Paris.
So she was born into misery. In 1915 in Paris, or she was born into poverty, la misère.
Sa mère était chanteuse de rue et son père était contorsionniste dans un cirque itinérant.
So her mother was a singer in the street, so a street singer, and her father was a contortionist in a travelling circus, un cirque itinérant.
Ouais. So quite tough. You can see there, tough beginnings.
Tough beginnings.
À l'âge de 15 ans, Edith commence à gagner sa vie. En chantant dans la rue.
So at the age of 15, Edith begins to earn her living, her life, by singing in the street. And notice here we've gone back to a narrative present. So she begins to earn her life, even though we're talking about the past.
The past, yeah.
Obviously we would say she began to earn her living by singing, en chantant dans la rue, the nice gerund form there.
Yeah, that would have been a nice... past historic, if it had been...
It would be. Uh-huh. If
what would
we
it be,
looking,
Mark?
That would be comment ça?
Oh, nice. With what? With just an A or an S?
No,
or what?
No, we've got to be careful with this one because comment c'est, that's C-E-R at the end, and if we change the ending to A, then we need to do something to that final C to keep it soft, to keep it the sounds and not a k sound. We need to put a little cedilla on it.
Cedilla, oh, it's lovely.
Don't worry about the past historic. We're thinking about the past historic because Pierre Benoit has been busy writing something. I'll not tell you what he's writing at the moment.
But gave it away there.
He's definitely using some past historics in that, and his mind is firmly focused on the past historic. But if you're not familiar with the past historic, don't worry about it at all. It's only really used in literature and more formal texts. But here we're looking at presence of narration.
C'est à ce moment-là que je fit semblant de ne pas écouter Mark. Continuons.
That was the moment he pretended he wasn't listening to Mark. Okay.
Elle mène ainsi une vie de bohème jusqu'à ce qu'elle soit découverte par Louis Leplay, le gérant d'un cabaret sur les Champs-Élysées.
So we've got the word ainsi in there. Ainsi means in this way. Elle mène ainsi une vie de bohème. So she lives in this way a bohemian life.
What? Yeah, like it was happy times. You know, there were no worries. I mean, La Bohème. You think about Charles Aznavour, who wrote La Bohème. You think about the opera, Puccini. You know, although there were like hard times, there were still happy times.
Yeah. It's also this idea that obviously we're talking about Elle est née dans la misère. It was tough. There perhaps wasn't money. There perhaps wasn't food on the table. But it is that kind of, yeah.
Well, she was 15. She was young. She was singing. And she had this passion and growing inside of her that, you know, she was embracing life with all her singing. And that's what mattered. The rest didn't matter.
So she lived this life. And then we've got this beautiful phrase. Jusqu'à ce qu'elle soit découverte. Until she was discovered.
Yeah, although in English, spotted.
Until she was discovered or spotted by Louis Leplay.
Yeah.
And who was he?
He was le gérant d'un cabaret.
So he was the director of a cabaret on the Champs-Élysées.
Gérant. That's an interesting word, that gérant, isn't it?
Yeah, it means literally manager.
Yeah.
But if we're talking about a business like the cabaret and the Champs-Élysées, then the director, I guess, is fine too.
Yes, for the kind of a field. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. However, if we're talking about film, then director, we use a different word.
Yeah, we use réalisateur.
The realizer, if you like, of the film. The person that brings it to life.
To life, yeah.
And I suppose if we're talking about the actual director, the artistic director of the cabaret, then we would probably...
Director, artistique, you would say that as well. Yeah, you're right. So that was good. Quite interesting word, gérant, to go back to it. If it's kind of an everyday situation, like you're the gérant d'un magasin, le gérant d'un café ou d'un pub, okay, you're not automatically the director. You can just be running the place. You're a manager.
A manager, yeah. So you're kind of running the day-to-day, but you don't necessarily own the business or
That's
whatever.
It.
Okay, so let's continue and find
out. And everybody knows les Champs-Élysées, I'm sure.
Tout à fait.
Good.
Tu vas chanter?
Ah non, Marc, comme je te l'ai dit, je ne chante plus.
Mais quand même, tous nos auditeurs s'attendent à ce que tu chantes.
Bon. Aux Champs-Élysées, au soleil, etc., etc. À la manière d'Edith Piaf, ça aurait fait aux Champs-Élysées, or something like that, you know, but anyway.
I knew we weren't going to get through this episode without him singing. Okay, let's get back to our text.
Elle débute alors sa carrière en tant que vedette de musical et enregistre son premier disque, Les Mômes de la Cloche.
Okay, so here we've got a nice expression, en tant que. You can travailler en tant que, which means to work as something. And you're going to see that expression in one of the episodes of our forthcoming series of...
Coffee Break French to go.
Which episode?
Oula, je crois que c'est le cinquième, mais je n'en suis pas entièrement sûr.
Five or six, I can't quite remember, but yeah, you can look forward to that. That's new video material coming soon.
Super.
But coming back to this, en tant que, so she starts her career en tant que vedette de musical, so as a star of the music hall, and she records her first record. What's it called?
Les Mômes de la Cloche.
So the kids of the bell?
Of the bell, yeah. I remember distinctly. My dad used to sing that song.
Really?
A song called Les Trois Cloches. And there used to be a band called Les Compagnons de la Chanson.
Uh-huh.
And if any, all our viewers, our listeners, if you can go on YouTube, can I say this?
Listen
to Les Trois Cloches, Les Compagnons, The Companions, Les Compagnons de la Chanson. And they accompany Edith Piaf. So it's Les Compagnons de la Chanson and Edith Piaf. And the harmonies are absolutely just sublime. C'est sublime.
I must go and look for that myself.
It's a religious song, but I just love it. It brings tears to my eye.
Okay, good stuff. Let's continue on.
Grâce à sa voix unique et vraiment différente de tout ce qu'on avait pu entendre alors.
So we'll take that part there. Thanks to her unique voice, sa voix unique, est vraiment différente, and it's really different from what? De tout ce qu'on avait pu entendre alors, from everything that we had been able to listen to at the time or to hear at the time.
Yep.
So différent de, it's different from.
Yeah.
In this case, différent de, because we're talking about Savoie.
Mm-hmm. I quite like the grâce à. Hein?
Grâce à, because we talked about that last time as
thanks
well.
To, thanks could to. Could you have said in English as a translation, could you have said because of?
Because of, yeah, we could have. Yeah, but remember, because of and thanks to, we had that discussion.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Whether one's positive, one's negative.
Yeah, yeah, that's good.
Okay,
that's
so good. Grâce à, thank you, thanks to. let's take it on from there.
Edith Piaf connaît un énorme succès.
Literally there, Edith Piaf knows an enormous success, but it's kind of like what she experiences.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Qui lui permet de devenir une star de renommée mondiale.
This is lovely because which allows her, qui lui permet. Why is it lui permet and not la permet?
Ah, because it's indirect, so you need the indirect pronoun here.
Absolutely, so it's permettre
à quelqu'un de faire quelque chose.
Tout à fait,
if we had such a complicated structure there, yeah.
Well, we've got this here, so qui lui permet de découvrir. Donc, qui permet à Edith Piaf
de devenir
mm-hmm. une star de renommée mondiale.
Super.
A star of worldwide or world-renowned.
Status, yeah, something like that, yeah, yeah.
However,
pourtant, sa vie ponctuée de grandes passions est aussi remplie de souffrances.
So, however, or perhaps more correctly, and yet, mm-hmm. pourtant, and yet, her life, punctuated by great passions, or with full of great passions, is also full of suffering.
Yeah, elle perd sa fille Marcel en 1935.
So she loses her daughter Marcel in 1935.
Et l'amour de sa vie, le boxeur Marcel Cerdan, dans un accident d'avion en 1949.
And tragically, the love of her life, the boxer Marcel Cerdan, and he died in an airplane accident in 1949.
Edith Piaf meurt le 10 octobre 1963.
So she dies, again using present tense here, because we're still narrating in the past, elle meurt le 10 octobre, on the 10th of October 1963.
Dans les Alpes-Maritimes.
In the Alpes-Maritimes, the département.
D'une rupture d'anévrisme à l'âge de 47 ans.
So she died of an aneurysm at the age of 47.
C'est très jeune, non?
Right. Nonetheless, even with this short life, she was still able to have a profound effect on world culture.
Yeah, yeah, and forever.
Tout à fait.
Cet artiste exceptionnel a marqué à jamais la musique française avec des chansons qui sont désormais de grands classiques.
So this exceptional artist marked forever French music with songs which from then on became great classics.
Yeah, à jamais. I love that phrase.
Forever, yeah. Uh-huh.
Literally?
For never, yeah. Until never, or something like that.
So, de grands classiques tels que Milord, La Foule.
So songs such as Milord, what's that about?
I think it's My Lord.
Right.
And obviously, the girl in the song is addressing someone of a different
status. Yeah,
yeah, higher status.
Okay. And then La Foule, you mentioned also, so that's the crowd.
That's a superb melody. Uh-huh. Non, je ne regrette rien, which is maybe it's definitely a classic.
So. Yeah, one of the most famous ones, so je ne regrette rien.
But not the most famous, Mark.
So no, I don't regret anything.
N'oublions pas sa chanson la plus célèbre.
Okay. And let's not forget her most famous song,
La vie en rose.
La vie en rose. Literally, life in pink, but it's life in...
Through tinted
spectacles or pink-coloured spectacles or something like that.
Yeah, when everything is embellished.
Exactly.
Good. Si vous ne l'avez pas encore fait...
If you've not already done so...
Il faut absolument que vous écoutiez ces chansons.
Nice. So it is absolutely imperative that you listen to these songs. See, here we've got a nice subjunctive.
Yeah.
Il faut absolument que vous écoutiez. Écoutiez, not écouter,
no,
but écoutiez.
It's got the I there, in the ending.
It looks like an imperfect, but it's actually a subjunctive
form. It's a subjunctive, yeah. And ces chansons is interesting. C'est being these or those songs.
Yeah, so C-E-S.
It could have been S-E-S.
It could indeed. Her chanson. So her... These songs rather than her songs.
Yeah, yeah. Et vous pouvez améliorer votre français tout en écoutant de la musique.
You can improve your French at the same time as listening to some music.
Yeah, but it's not just some music here. We're talking about une musique bien, bien spécifique, bien...
sublime. Bah,
sublime, tout simplement. Ouais, c'est exceptionnel. Est-ce que tu as une chanson préférée d'Edith Piaf, Marc?
Oh, je dois dire La vie en rose.
C'est vrai?
Ouais.
La vie en rose te plaît?
Ouais.
Moi, j'adore L'accordéoniste.
Ah bon?
Ouais. Et j'aimerais un jour que tu joues cette chanson pour moi.
À l'accordéon?
Au piano.
Au piano,
voilà, l'accordéon. Voilà.
Super. Bon, if we ever do that, maybe we should do a little concert on Facebook someday.
That'd when be
we
good. Could, with Edith Piaf, with some French songs, classics. That would French be classics, fantastic.
Yeah. I don't know how the copyright works for all that, but I think if it's live, then it might be okay. Let us know if you'd like a little live concert on Facebook with some French songs.
Can I just say, please check the lyrics of L'Accordéoniste. Mm-hmm. I think they are really beautiful. I love those lyrics. And the way she sings it, Edith Piaf, that is, you can really, really, in one song, you get the whole character with its energy. And then, you know, elle dégageait une énergie exceptionnelle. Exceptionnelle.
Parfait. Well, I will also look up those lyrics because I'm not too familiar with the song. But for now, we're going to take a short break and we'll be back in just a moment with our phone-in question. If you'd like to take your French that bit further, then you may consider signing up for one of our premium courses on the Coffee Break Academy. There's something for everyone, from absolute beginners up to advanced learners, and the premium materials include lesson notes, transcripts, video lessons, exercises, and vocabulary guides, depending on which course you opt for. Head over to coffeebreakacademy.com to find out more.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back. This is the section of the show where the Coffee Break French listener becomes the star of the show. We are over to Simon for his question.
Hi, this is Simon in Colorado, USA. I have been learning French for about 3 years now, and for the last year using Coffee Break French. I have a question following up on the episode where you talked about the perfect tense. I'm a bit confused in the perfect tense, as when you need to change the ending to agree with the participle. Sometimes you seem to need to change it and sometimes you don't. And I wondered if you could explain if there's a rule as to when you need to change it to either to the feminine or the plural. Thanks.
Thank you, Simon, for a question that I think lots of learners find tricky.
Of course it's tricky because this doesn't exist in your own language, Simon, okay? Obviously, you know the two auxiliaries, avoir and être, that, and both need to be used when you conjugate a tense in the perfect tense.
Exactly. Okay? So when you're saying I have done or we have gone or whatever, you need your auxiliary verb to translate the have part. Yeah. And then the gone or the done or the sung or whatever that's it happens to be. And that would be your past participle.
The problem is sometimes it's the word to have and sometimes it's the word to be.
Exactly, yes. Okay. Even if in English you're saying, I have gone, in that situation you don't use the verb avoir, you use the verb être.
Yeah, we actually say, I am gone. Yeah. Okay.
So in this situation you've got two verbs. You've got avoir and être, both of which are your auxiliary verbs. And the good news is that the vast majority of verbs take avoir in the perfect. They conjugate with avoir.
That's it. And if you use avoir, Simon, you do not need to agree with the subject.
So your past participle stays just as it would be. So for example, parler, it would be P-A-R-L-E acute.
Yeah.
And there's no change there.
If it's j'ai parlé, and if, whether I'm a female or a male, it would not change, okay? Il a parlé, that would be I-L and then A and then parler, P-A-R-L-E acute. And then if it's elle a parlé, it's exactly the same, it's E acute. You do not need to add the other E because you don't agree when you use the avoir auxiliary.
Okay, so avoir verbs, straightforward. There's no agreement. Your past participle stays as expected. However, with être verbs, that's when you do have to agree. And there's a set list of être verbs. Yeah. And it's just a case of knowing them and learning them. I always learn them in sort of pairs.
Yeah,
so I've
good.
Got six pairs, then there's four R verbs, and then one final one with tomber. This doesn't cover all the verbs because there's a few different things like devenir and so on.
Yeah, and then you've got venir, devenir, you've got entrer, rentrer. But these are just built on the root verb, should I say.
So what I tend to do is think of it, aller venir, arriver partir, entrer sortir, naître mourir, monter descendre, rentrer retourner, revenir rester and tomber. And that's the way my French teacher when I was about 14 taught me them and I still remember it in that kind of combination of opposites in a sense.
In my early years of teaching we used to use a worksheet and it was we were introducing the pupils to Mrs. van der Tram.
Mrs. van der Tram.
Have you heard of that?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, that was quite good. It was very visual. So if you have a visual memory, this is ideal. If you've got more like an audio memory, and I'm sure there are plenty. I mean, I know that some of my colleagues actually created a wee song. Okay, and used to teach that song to their pupils.
So. I remember when I was teaching, I did a video. It must be on YouTube somewhere, I think. But we made a stop motion animation video with Lego about the story of Mrs. van der Tramp and her day and all the things that happened during her day. I must look that out. If I can find it, I'll put a link in the show notes.
That'd be good.
But I don't know whether it still exists. It was very rudimentary. But
I have a colleague who videoed himself singing the Etreverb song. So maybe I will send you, Mark, the video and you can do what you want with it.
Okay. So we've got these verbs and when you use those verbs, then you do have to agree your past participle. Yep. That simply means adding an extra E for the feminine, or an S if it's masculine plural or mixed plural, and an ES if it's feminine. Now, the thing is, sometimes you get the impression that there actually are more être verbs because you see them so often.
Yeah, because they are motion verbs. Okay, so to go, to fall, to enter a room, okay? But you will see more as well because, and you're with us, Simon, you have to use the être auxiliary when you have reflexive verbs.
Exactly. So, je me suis levé, je me suis douché, je me suis lavé, réveillé, whatever it is.
Whatever.
All of these are also using être verbs because they're reflexive.
Yeah. So, that kind of increases the list.
Indeed. There is one other situation, not where you use être verbs, but where you're using avoir verbs and you do have to agree.
Where you
this is a special rule. It's called the preceding direct object rule, where you're talking about something and you have to agree with the object. And I'm going to give you an example of this. Let's imagine we're talking about a house I've bought. Okay, this is the house that I have bought. La maison que j'ai acheté. Now, this acheté has to have an extra E on the end.
Yeah.
And why is it?
Well, the subject is je, okay, from you having j'ai acheté.
Mm-hmm.
And the direct object is la maison.
Mm-hmm.
And because la maison is in its place in a sentence is before the auxiliary, the avoir auxiliary,
yep,
then the past participle does not agree with the subject. It agrees with this past part, with this, sorry,
direct
this
object.
Direct object.
Mm-hmm.
La maison being feminine,
yep,
and singular, acheté will need to have after the E acute an extra.
An extra E. Okay, so la maison que j'ai acheté. Now, if I were to say to Pierre Benoît, ah, tu l'as acheté, cette maison?
Oui, je l'ai acheté. Now we've got tu l'as acheté, L apostrophe AS, the L apostrophe referring to the house. It's still just before the auxiliary. Oh, it's preceding it. Therefore, acheté will have the E, acute E.
Likewise, je l'ai acheté. If we're talking about that house, again, that E acute E at the end of acheté. Je l'ai acheté.
So Simon, do you like those explanations? Okay.
Les explications.
Est-ce que tu aimes les explications que tu as entendues?
So what's happening to that entendu there? Les explications are feminine plural and therefore entendu should have an ES on the end.
Okay, Simon.
Now, obviously, we've taken that quite far. We've gone to the advanced version of the agreements of the past participle, but hopefully this has helped Simon. If you have a question like Simon, then you can get in touch with us and we can potentially answer your question in a future episode of the Coffee Break French magazine. You can call our voicemail lines in the UK at 0141 416 6880. In the US, 347 474 6880. And in Australia, 08 7200 6880. Or simply head to coffeebreakquestions.com and leave your message there. And we'll be delighted to have a listen and potentially include it in a future episode. Et nous revoici pour la dernière partie de cet épisode. Et donc, on est bien sûr avec Suzy. Bonjour.
Bonjour.
Toi, tu aimes la musique d'Edith Piaf?
Oui, bien sûr.
Et tu as chanté
Non, je ne pense pas.
Okay. On a déjà chanté beaucoup dans cet épisode, donc ça va aller. Alors, qu'est-ce que tu as pour nous aujourd'hui?
Nous avons des expressions idiomatiques.
Ok, oui. Qui ont quelque chose à voir peut-être avec Edith Piaf.
Oui.
Ok, alors raconte-nous.
So the first expression we've got is taken from Edith Piaf's famous song, La vie en rose. Voir la vie en rose.
Voir la vie en rose. To see the life in pink or something like that, literally. So what does it mean?
It means to see things through rose-tinted glasses, I suppose. Okay. We would say in English.
Yep, okay. So give us a couple of examples of this, Suzy.
Okay. Quand on est amoureux, on voit la vie en rose.
C'est vrai. Quand on est amoureux, on voit la vie en rose. When you're in love, you see everything through rose-colored glasses. I like it. Okay.
Elle voit toujours la vie en rose.
Okay. That's a good thing, I guess. Mm-hmm. She always sees life through rose-colored tinted glasses, or mm-hmm. she always sees just the bright side of things, something like that.
Yeah.
Très bien, okay.
Now, we also have the opposite expression mm-hmm. Of that, which would be tout n'est pas rose.
Okay, so not everything is pink.
Yes. Exactly.
Referring to la vie en rose, I guess, there, you know. So not everything is pink. What would we say in English for this? There's an expression in English, I'm trying to think, it's not coming to me.
I think we would say it's not a bed of roses.
It's not a bed of roses. Sticking with the rose theme. All is not rosy or something like that, mm-hmm. perhaps. Yep. Okay, let's have some examples then of this one.
Okay. Tout n'est pas rose dans la vie.
Life is not a bed of roses. Okay. Anything else?
Oui. Malgré toutes ces bonnes nouvelles, tout n'est pas rose.
Okay, so despite all this good news, all is not well. Yeah, I think we'll stick, however, with the keeping things in rose-tinted spectacles. Let's be a little more positive to finish. Bon, merci beaucoup, comme d'habitude, Suzy.
De rien.
Et nous te verrons la prochaine fois pour le dernier épisode de cette série.
Oui.
Alors, à bientôt.
À bientôt.
that is where we're going to leave this episode of the Coffee Break French Magazine. Of course, if you would like to get access to the transcript for this episode, which includes language notes and explanations and further examples, then you can do so at coffeebreakacademy.com. That's available there for this episode and indeed for all the episodes of the series. And there's also a vocabulary list and a set of exercises for each episode. So head over to coffeebreakacademy.com for more information about that.
And remember, our episodes go out every 2 weeks and there's a lot of content in each episode to keep you busy. But in between times, you can still practice your French with a Coffee Break French team. And we post regular language and cultural challenges on Facebook. Just search for Coffee Break French. We're Learn French on Twitter, where we post regular updates and mini language lessons. And to take a peek behind the scenes of all things Coffee Break, follow Coffee Break Languages on Instagram.
Et voilà, nous serons de retour très bientôt avec le dernier épisode de cette série.
Oui, le dernier, mais quand même, on parlera de la Tour Eiffel.
La Tour Eiffel, quelque chose de très connu quand même.
Ouais, donc ce sera super. Alors vivement, la prochaine fois.
Tout à fait. Don't forget to have a look at the website for some links for some Edith Piaf songs. Ah. And perhaps if we find these Mr. Van or Mrs. Van den Tramp and so
yes, we'll post right, them too. Post them.
Mais merci beaucoup.
C'est moi qui te remercie, c'est moi qui vous remercie et à la prochaine.
Salut.
Salut.
You have been listening to a production of the Coffee Break Academy for the Radiolingua Network. Copyright 2019 Radiolingua Limited. Recording copyright 2019 Radiolingua Limited. All rights reserved.